Thank you for listening. Love Worth Finding is solely a listener and viewer-supported ministry, and this message is available because of the prayers and donations of people just like you. To make a donation, go to lwf.org or call 1-800-274-5683. And thank you for joining us in making an eternal difference.
Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. The title of our message, The Friendship Factor. The Friendship Factor. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I want to talk to you about friends, what they're like, how to have a friend, how to be a friend, and then I want to talk to you about the friend of all friends, what a friend we have in Jesus. A friend, if you have a friend, a real friend, a true friend, you indeed have something of great, great value. I do not have many friends. Now you say, wait a minute, Mr. Rogers, you ought to have a lot of friends. I have a lot of acquaintances. I have many, many acquaintances. And I love my acquaintances, and I enjoy my acquaintances, and I thank God for my acquaintances, and I would not for a moment put down my acquaintances. Thank God for them. I want you to understand that. But still, I don't have many friends. A friend is a rare thing. Now, we touch people on different levels. Our lives are kind of like an ocean vessel going through the sea of life. And there's some who just hop on board and hop off board. You know, these are just people that we meet, casual acquaintances. They touch our lives for a little while. We meet them. We enjoy them. We learn from them. We fellowship with them. And then they're gone. They just hop on board and then they hop off board. Then there are other friends. I would call them fair weather friends. They get on board and they sail along with you. And they stay on board as long as the wind is calm and the sea is smooth. But when the storms come, then they abandon ship and they will leave you. They're what we call a fair weather friend. But there are other friends, real friends, true friends. When they get on board, I want to tell you, they stay on board. In the calm, they're there. In the storm, they're there. When the wind is whipping the waves, they're there. When the lightning is flashing, they are there. And they will not leave until they see you safely into port. I'm talking about that kind of friend. And I don't have many true, real, genuine friends, nor do you. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us we're not to have too many friends. Matter of fact, the Bible warns against having too many friends. Did you know that? In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, the New American Standard puts it this way, "A man of many friends will come to ruin." Now, it's interesting, King James translates that he who would have friends must show himself friendly. This is a very interesting translation, so I had to check it out several times. But literally, that is to be preferred as a direct rendering, "A man of many friends will come to ruin." Why is that? Well, friends are costly things to have. I mean, it takes effort. It takes time. A real friend is someone in whom you're going to invest your energy. You're going to invest your prayers. You're going to invest your emotion. It's going to be a demand upon your social life. It's going to be a demand upon your financial life. It's going to be a demand upon your emotional life. And you cannot afford the luxury of many friends. You could not maintain them. You only need one wife or one husband, and you need a few friends. A person of many friends, the Bible says, will come to ruin. But everybody needs a friend. When I was in seminary, they used to tell us, you as a pastor ought not to have friends. On your church field, don't have any friends. It'll make other people jealous or envious. And a pastor's wife, not supposed to have friends. I believe that was and is still bad advice. I believe to say to anybody who lives that that person should not have friends is to deny their basic humanity. And I want to say even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here in the flesh, had his friends. Now, he loved everybody, but he had his friends. There were 12 disciples. And out of those 12, there was that inner trinity of disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were more intimate. And out of Peter, James, and John, there was one, John, who was the beloved disciple. Isn't that right? And Jesus loved many people, but there was a home where Jesus would often resort. And it was the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he loved everybody. But these were his friends. And the Lord Jesus, in his humanity, needed a friend, had a friend, valued a friend, and so must you. Oh, the value of a friend. Don't have many. Have some. Ben Franklin was a wise man. He said, be slow in making your friends, even slower in changing them. The value of friendship. Now, I want us to move on just a little bit and talk not only about the value of friendship, but I want us to think about the virtues of friendship. Why are friends so valuable? Why do we talk about friends as being so wonderful and worth the investment? By the way, there are no bargain friendships. They're very costly things. But it's worth it. Why? Well, when you see the virtues of friendship, you'll understand. Let me mention four virtues of real, genuine, biblical friendship. Number one, true friendship is selfless. Selfless. Now look at our scripture. A friend loveth at all times. Now there's some people who will claim to be your friend, but they'll not love you at all times. They put a certain condition upon their friendship. They say, I love you if. Or I love you when. Or I will love you until. Or I love you because. All of these have conditions. That is, there's something in me that if you meet that condition, if you satisfy that need that I have in me, then I am your friend. But if a person claims to be your friend and says, I love you if, I love you when, I love you until, I love you because, they're not truly your friend, they are a fair weather friend, because if, the when, the until, or the because is not just right, overboard they go, you see. They have a condition upon it. A real friend is a selfless friend who loves you because not of any need that he has in him as such, but it is a selfless, unconditional love that says, I love you, period. Real friendship is a selfless friendship. Now, because it is selfless, it is steadfast. That's the second test. True friendship is steadfast. Look at the scripture again. A friend loveth at all times. And again, the Bible says, as we're going to see it a little later, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A real friend sticks. An English publication had a contest for the definition of a friend. And here are some that were good definitions that won honorable mention. One said, a friend is somebody who multiplies your joys and divides your griefs. That's good. I like that. Somebody else said, and I really like this, a friend is someone who understands your silence. A real friend is somebody just sit around. You don't even have to be carrying on palaver with a real friend. You can enjoy not saying anything with a real friend, and they understand your silence. But let me tell you, the one that won the prize, and here it is, a real friend is someone who comes in when the whole world has gone out. A real friend is someone who comes in when the whole world has gone out. That is, a real friend loves at all times. They're steadfast. You want to find out who your friends are, do you? Make a mistake. Not a little one, a big one. And see what happens. There's some people that you thought were your friends. They'll leave you. They'll be gone. Like rats leaving a sinking ship. They will leave you. They are not friends, not real friends. Do you want to see whether you are a friend, a true friend, or not? I want you to look, if you will, in God's Word in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 10. Just turn to it with me for a moment. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Do you see that? thine own friend and thy father's friend, forsake not. A friend will stick. A friend loves at all times. It doesn't matter what you've done, that friend is going to be there. Now, not only is a friend selfless, he doesn't put conditions upon it. And because he's selfless, he's steadfast. Conditions are not going to change and make him less a friend when conditions change. But I want to say thirdly that a friend is sacrificial. It costs to be a friend. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Look at it. The Bible says there in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 that a friend sticketh closer than a brother. The last part of that verse. Now, a brother is born for adversity. And when you have need, that friend is going to be there. I've already told you, there's an emotional cost. There's a cost of time. There demands social pressures and other pressures that are placed upon you because you are a friend and you cannot meet all of those demands any more than you can meet the needs of a dozen wives or a dozen husbands. And so you can have more friends than you can have mates. But I want to tell you, the Bible says again, a man of many friends will come to ruin. Because a friendship is a sacrificial thing. Sometimes it'll cost you to stick. Sometimes it would be easier to forsake your friend than to get yourself into trouble with your friend because he is your friend. Do you know what the Indian word for friend is? It's a composite of several words. One who carries my sorrows upon his back. That's a friend. One who carries, it reminds me of the Lord Jesus. Surely he hath borne our sorrows. Surely he hath carried our grief. What a friend we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a real friend is someone who is a sacrificial person. That's the reason why I've said there are no bargain friendships. It costs to be a real friend. It cost the Lord Jesus to wear that title, a friend of sinners. Indeed, it cost him. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It cost to be a friend. A friend is selfless, a true friend. A friend is steadfast. A true friend is sacrificial. I want to say something else about the virtues of friendship. A real friend is sanctifying. He sanctifies you with his friendship. There's a sanctifying factor there. Look in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. You'll see what I'm talking about. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Do you see that? Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. What does that mean? Well, you don't sharpen an axe on a pound of butter. Iron sharpeneth iron. And what that scripture means is this, that if you have a real friend, that friend is going to have an uplifting, a sharpening influence on your life. You're going to be a better person. They're going to have a sanctifying power. That is, they're going to make you more like what you ought to be. A true friend is going to put the keen edge on your life. You're going to be sharper. You're going to have that cutting edge there because that friend has been in your life. A false friend will blunt your influence. A false friend will dull your usefulness. A false friend will wear you down. A true friend will sharpen you up. And one of the tests, one of the measurements as to whether or not that person is a friend is this test. Am I a better person when I'm in their presence? As iron sharpens iron, so a man's countenance sharpens the countenance of his friend. And by the way, other than the Lord Jesus, you want to know who my best friend is? A woman. Her name is Joyce. I'm married to her. My best friend is my wife. It's good to have a friend that you're married to. It's a lot cheaper. You know, there are a lot of people who are in love. They're married. They're sweethearts, but they're not friends. I mean, they love each other. They just don't like each other. They get along about like a cobra and a mongoose. Now, we should be friends. Because a friend will sharpen you, a friend will enhance you, a friend will put the sharp edge there. But a false friend dulls and blurs and blunts. So a true friend has a sanctifying influence. And that's the reason a true friend will never forsake you. But now listen, a true friend will not condone you when you do wrong. A true friend will not condone you, not indulge you, but a true friend will confront you that he might change you. And you see, to take the rough edges off, that's what it means, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Let me show you a passage of scripture here in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6. Look at it with me for a moment. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Judas kissed the Lord. How deceitful that was. He was a false friend. He pretended to be a friend. But all he did was flatter the Lord Jesus when he said, "Hail, Master." Flattery comes from false friends. True friends don't flatter you. They may compliment you, but they do not flatter you. Do you know flattery and hypocrisy are basically the same thing? Did you know that? Under the skin, they're the same thing. If you're a flatterer, I want you to listen. Here's the difference between a flatterer and a hypocrite. A hypocrite will say behind your back what he will not say to your face. A flatterer will say to your face what he doesn't say behind your back. Friends love us enough. They care enough to confront. 1979, February, on Saturday evening, I was sitting in my recliner chair about 10:30, looking over my sermon notes, getting ready to go to bed, and I started to get up, and I felt a pain, mostly all over. I tried to locate it, figure out what it was. I didn't know what it was. I thought, well, maybe I'll just take a cup of Alka-Seltzer, and I'll be all right. Go to bed, and I'll feel better in the morning. 1 a.m, I still was awake and couldn't get any relief. So I thought, well, I better investigate. I plundered around the house, tried to find a medical book to read it. And I did a little research, you know. And I thought to myself, you know, this is silly. I might be having a heart attack. I sit here and read while I die. And Joyce wouldn't like that. Now, you say, where was Joyce? Well, she was away. That's part of the problem. I'd done my own cooking. Actually, for lunch, I had lunch in a restaurant. I had a chili dog. And then for dinner, I found a can of hot tamales. I took the lid off, put them in the microwave, heated them up, bathed them with Tabasco sauce, and wolfed them down, and ran out to a meeting. Well, that triggered something down there. So when I got to the hospital, I felt so silly walking in that hospital. You know, you just don't want to go. You don't want to give up. It's like you're admitting that you're weak. But I finally went down sheepishly to that hospital and walked in there. I felt, you know, so weak when I surrendered. Here I am. I'm turning myself in. And they took me, and that doctor came in there. And I remember talking to that doctor. I said, "Now, doctor, it's not my heart. I've got a good heart." I said, "It's not my appendix. It's on the wrong side." I said, "Doctor, it's not the flu. I don't have a fever." He said, "Would you just be quiet for a moment?" And he did a few preliminary tests. He said, "Have you ever thought about your gallbladder?" They made some pictures of me and found a rock collection down there. And my good friend, Dr. Dave Donovan, came in. He said, "Preacher, we're going to take that out." Do you know what he did? I'm talking about a good friend. Do you know what he did to me? Folks, he put me on a table and he cut me. I mean, he sliced me. Didn't shed a tear. Didn't bother him a bit. I think he enjoyed it. Yeah. Just cut me. Now, why would a friend do that to another friend? The wounds of a friend are faithful. He hurt me that he might heal me. And why did he want to hurt me that he might heal me? Because he loved me. Because he was my friend. A real friend has a sanctifying influence on your life. He will make you a better person. And the test of your friendship is, am I a better person because of my friend? The friends that I have other than my wife, my real friends, I'm not with them 2 or 3 minutes before they're giving me a new thought, a new blessing, a new idea, whether we're in an automobile, in a restaurant, at a convention, in a motel room. Instantly, my life is being built up. My countenance is being sharpened. These people are adding to my life because they are a friend and they have something in the Word of God or some blessing, something that will add to my life, because iron sharpens iron and a man's countenance sharpens the countenance of his friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend will make you a better person. These are beautiful words someone has written. I love you not for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. I love you not only for what you have made of yourself, but for what you are making of me. I love you for not closing your ears to the discord in me, but for adding to the music in me by worshipful listening. You have done it without a touch, without a word, without a sign. You have done it by just being yourself. Perhaps this is what being a friend means, after all. And the key to that beautiful prose is in the first line. I love you not for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. The wounds of a friend are faithful. And so what are the values of friendship? And why do we prize friendship? And why do we pay the price for friendship? And why do we take the risk for friendship? Because a friend, dear friend, a real friend, is something far, far beyond gold in value. Now let me talk to you thirdly and finally, not only about the value of friendship, and not only about the virtues of friendship, but let me talk to you about the venture of friendship. I mean, how to have a friend, how to be a friend. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I need a friend. That's exactly what I need. I need in my life a friend. Well, I want to tell you and give you some spiritual and practical ways to enter into this venture of friendship, all right? Number one, I want you to meet and know the best friend whose name is Jesus. Now, that's the beginning point. And don't think that that's of non-consequence. As a matter of fact, he is a friend that you need to meet. Remember all of these other things I said about a friend? A selfless friend? Oh, he first loved us. And remember what I said about a steadfast friend? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. A sacrificial friend, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. A sanctifying friend, oh, Jesus can make me what he wants me to be. Jesus is that kind of a friend, and I want you to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. Even his enemies called him a friend of sinners. You see, he doesn't love us because we're lovely. He just loves us. We're not valuable. He doesn't love us because we're valuable. We're valuable because he loves us. I've told you before, he does not change you in order to love you. He loves you in order to change you. That's a wonderful friend, isn't it? That's the kind of a friend that you have in the Lord Jesus. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now, here's the secret to having human friends is to have him for a friend. You see, let me show you why many of us do not have more friends or any friends. It's because we're not the kind of a person that is easy to be a friend with. We have a basic character flaw that makes us sometimes almost obnoxious and hard to be around. And that's the reason we don't have friends. Well, let me tell you what that character flaw is. It is insecurity. And because we have this insecurity, that insecurity portrays itself and comes up in the life as selfishness. You see, when I'm insecure, I don't feel that I have anything to give. And so therefore, I become selfish. I become closed in. And I want to take from you and add to me. And even sometimes when I'm trying to have a friend, what I'm trying to do is to latch on to somebody else that I might leech them, that I might suck from them strength to me. And so it's sort of a getting relationship, and I'm trying to take from other persons because I'm so insecure and I don't have anything to give, and I just feel unworthy. Now when I meet the Lord Jesus, who loved me when I was yet a sinner, who knows all about me, and yet he loves me. I've met the friend of sinners. Now, let me tell you what faith is. Faith is an understanding of, number one, he accepts me. Not because of what I am or what I've done. He just loves me. That's grace, right? He accepts me. I want you to listen to this now. He accepts me. Now, faith is my acceptance of the fact that he accepts me. Faith is my acceptance of his acceptance of me. He will accept you. Now watch it. He accepts you. I accept that he accepts me. And now I accept me. I mean, if he loves me, I accept his love. Now I can love me. It's all right to love what Jesus loves. And if Jesus loves you, you can love you. Have you ever heard anybody say, hey, don't love yourself. That's bad. Friend, you're supposed to love yourself. Jesus said we're to love others as we love ourselves. Now, if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love anybody else? You have to have a basic self-love that comes from the fact that you see that the Lord has accepted you. You accept that the Lord accepts you. Now, you accept you, and the Bible says you're accepted in the beloved. When I say that you're to love yourself, that doesn't mean that you're filled with ego and you stand in front of the mirror and sing how great thou art. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about this fact, that you are in the Lord Jesus Christ somebody. I have become a royal blue blood, a child of the King, accepted in the beloved. I am now somebody in Christ. And that, ladies and gentlemen, deals with my basic insecurity. Now watch what I'm saying. He accepts me. I accept the fact that he accepts me. Now I accept me. Now I am free to accept you. Now I don't have to be leeching on to you. Now I don't have to be manipulating you. Now I don't have to be using you. Now I don't have to be egocentric to build up that insecurity that's in me. Now I am free to love you as a real person. And now you are free to love me because that ugliness has been taken out of me. And there's the basis of friendship. It's in the Lord Jesus. Number one, you know the Lord Jesus Christ to get your sins forgiven. Number two, you have something better. You have a friend in the Lord Jesus who will never leave you, never forsake you. Now, remember when I said when the Lord Jesus Christ was here in his humanity that he just had a few friends? Remember that? You say, well, I wish I could have been one of them. You can now. Let me give you a verse of scripture. Listen to it. John 15, verse 15. Jesus said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now, Jesus said this in that passage of Scripture where he is getting ready to go back to the Father and to send the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, it is good for you that I go away. It is better for you. It is expedient for you. For if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. But if I go, I'll send him unto you. And you know what the Holy Spirit is? He is a personal friend to every one of us. You see, when Jesus was here in his humanity, he could not spend the night in everybody's home. But you know, he spends the night in my home. He could not be intimate with everybody. But now he's intimate with me and with you, and he can be your friend as though he had no other friends through the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? Henceforth, I don't call you servants anymore. Now I call you friends, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit to represent me into your heart. What a friend we have in Jesus. And so my sins are forgiven when I receive Christ. I have that friendship. I'm never alone. The darkest night, the most lonely road, Christ is there. And then I become a whole person. I can love me for the first time. And now, because I can love me, I can love you as I love me. And because I love you as I love me, you can love me because that ugliness has been taken out of my life. And that is the basis, my friend, for having a friend, being a real friend, a true friend. Now, listen. Second thing. Number one, meet the true friend the friend of sinners, Jesus. Number two, take the initiative. Now, if you want a friend, be a friend. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. That is, you're going to get what you give. You want love? Give love. You want people to give to you? Give to them. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You see, people who want to have friends need to show themselves friendly. You see, So many people are waiting for someone to come and be a friend to them. I went out to find a friend and could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. Now, stop waiting for people to come to you. You take the initiative and go to them. Dale Carnegie said this: you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming really interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. Take the initiative and then be practical. I mean, get in the place where you're going to meet the right kind of friends. You're not going to meet the right kind of friends in a singles bar. You're going to meet them in church. You're going to meet them in that social context of Christian people. You see, the way to find the right friend is to be the right person and be in the right place. And then go ahead and take the risk. Break the ice. Find someone with a common interest and begin to talk to that person and share with that person. And there is a risk. You might be unnoticed. You might be embarrassed. It might not work. You have to take that risk. You can do it now because Jesus Christ is in you. And then be yourself. Don't put on. Be your best self, but be yourself and be reasonable. Don't try to make it happen overnight. There are no real instant friendships. Don't force it. Don't do an overkill. You'll drive that new friend away. Just let it happen. God will give you a friend. Don't pull your radishes up by the roots to see how they're growing and then jam them back in the ground again. Don't make unreasonable demands. Don't smother your new friend. And you're going to find out that if you'll do this, if you, on the one hand, will meet the Lord Jesus, let him radically, dramatically change you. On the other hand, if you will take the initiative and begin to give. Number three, if you'll be practical. And number four, if you will pray and say, God, give me a friend, he will. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God answers prayer. If you need a friend, he'll send you a friend.
We pray that God has blessed you as you've listened to this message. If you'd like additional copies or information about other resources, write to us at Love Worth Finding, P.O. Box 38300, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. You can also visit our online bookstore at lwf.org. In the U.S., you can place Visa or MasterCard orders by calling 1-800-274-5683, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Central Time. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.